How many know it's important that we hear? It's not only is it important that we hear, but it's important that we listen. For all you parents that have drummed that into your kids all their lives to make sure that they're hearing and listening to you, it's important that we listen. You know, you can be seated after you're done. Sorry. Yeah. We're not real formal around here, so we try to be relaxed, but the idea, though, is that, you know, it's challenging. I'm introducing Tam here to you a little bit, and I never did like being introduced whenever I was going to speak because I felt like I was being built up, and then I didn't want to disappoint anybody, you know. So, but, you know, it's not about how well, you know, you can have the most eloquent speakers ever up here, and we still don't hear the message sometimes because it's not about how well the speaker speaks. I mean, some of the old-time revivalists used to stand up and literally take their message on a piece of paper and sit there and read it, and yet people would be convicted by the Word and by the Holy Spirit, and they'd be changed. It's about how we hear. It's about how well we hear, because we need to hear truth, because we came to bear witness to the truth, remember? We came to bear witness to the truth, amen? Don't make me say amen. I don't like saying amen. It sounds weird when you listen back to it on tape. Or I think of some of the, remember, I don't even remember him. Anyways, you say amen. Who was that guy? John Hansen. I had John. I didn't have Hansen in my head. You say amen. Amen. He had that accent. It's important that we hear the truth, because truth is what we live our life by. Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. And that's all we can do from a speaking or from a sharing standpoint. All we can do is share the truth. But it's up to the others to whether they have ears to hear and eyes to see. So our job this morning, we're going to pray. I want us to pray for Pastor Tim and Betty over in Africa. I want us just to bless them and their time and what they're doing over there. But I want us also to right now, it's kind of like back in school, put on your listening ears and on your thinking caps, right? We got to do that sometimes. I know we drone it into our kids, but sometimes we have to drone it back into ourselves as well as adults. So, all right, let's pray for Pastor Tim and Betty. Father, we lift up Pastor Tim and Betty to you right now. God, we thank you for the commissioning, Lord God, what you've called them to do, Lord God, while they're there in that country, Lord God. And we thank you that the Word of God is going forth with great boldness and truth, Lord God. And Father, we just declare over Rwanda, over that part of Africa right now, ears to hear. We declare, Lord God, that the ears be open, that the lies and deception of the enemy be silenced at this moment, so that the truth would prevail in their lives and they'd see Jesus, they'd see the truth of the gospel of peace. And Father, we just pray your anointing just roll freely in their lives. We pray, Lord God, more avenues, more opportunities, Lord God, to touch and bring life and healing to people all over that region, Lord God. We declare safety. We declare, Lord God, angels being commissioned and marching around them and leading them and breaking through walls and barriers in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for that, Lord God. We pray for their safe return, Lord God, as they come home to share with us the testimony of the Lord in Jesus' name. And Father, right now, in our own selves, Lord God, we put on our listening ears. Because, God, I want to hear your truth. I want my faith to increase by hearing of the Word of God. I want to grab hold of the truth that you have, Lord God, for me, and I want to cling to it, and I want to hold it, Lord God. And when that truth is being tested, Lord God, I want to hang on to it even more. Because I want it to grow in my life. I want to be changed so that I could be more like you every day in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Tam. Everybody welcome Tam. Happy Mother's Day.
Well, good morning. I'm using technology. I think I just messed it up. Oh, no, there it is. I had the worship team sing that song, Lead Me to the Cross, because I love what it says, you know, where he talks about ridding us of ourselves. I want to be empty of me. God wants us to pour out every day to where we're empty before him. If we're empty, then that means that we're doing what he's commissioned us to do. That is being his ambassadors. I want to share a little thing that the Lord gave me. This has probably been 2 weeks ago, but he was speaking to me about being an ambassador and how that when we're an ambassador, we're representing the kingdom of God. The illustration that he gave me was Rob and how that Rob is a director. And he's a director over the transportation, and he has bosses over him. He has a superintendent, and he has another boss that's over him. He deals with issues every day, you know, with either drivers or moms and dads, the bus drivers, the kids on the bus, discipline issues and things like that. And what the Lord showed me was he doesn't go to his bosses every time he needs to deal with an issue. He just does it because he's been given that authority. Well, we as children of God have been given that same authority in kingdom principles. And the thing that the Lord was showing me is that, you know, where it says for us to heal the sick, to lay hands on the sick and they will recover, he tells us to heal them. That is God in us, and we know that. So we walk in that authority. We don't go and every time we pray for someone, we don't go and say, Jesus, Jesus, come and heal this person. He says, I've given you that authority. I've given you that power to do that. So he wants us to walk in that authority. I didn't plan on sharing that little bit, but during worship, the Lord spoke to me to go ahead and share that because we are his ambassadors. We're everyone. Every one of you is just as qualified as me to get up here and share because we're all ambassadors of God. The first verse I want to talk to you about is in 1 Corinthians 1:9. I guess I didn't write this one down. I was trying to cheat and have it all on my notes. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:9. It says, God is faithful, whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, and our Lord. I've got God is faithful. He is reliable. He's trustworthy and ever true in his promises. He can be depended on, and through him you are called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's funny, you know, when you know, I had several weeks, Pastor and Sister Betty had asked me to do this, and I had several weeks to let the Lord speak to me and minister. I was kind of intimidated when they said, you know, ask me to speak. I was like, oh, I don't know. But the Lord gave me the okay to do that. The Lord had been speaking to me about the things that he's wanting to speak. And I kept going to something different. And it wasn't coming together. And I was like, God, why is this not coming together? You're speaking to me about... He'd been speaking to me, and I'd been taking notes and journaling things that he had been sharing with me. And the other night when I was sat down to, you know, write the things out that he'd been, you know, that I felt like he wanted me to do, I had gone in a different direction. And he said, go back to what I said in the beginning. And so I did. And then it began to flow. God's faithful. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. You know, a lot of times in this example here, it says trustworthy. It says trust is to believe in, rely on, trust in the ability or strength of. A lot of us don't trust. There's times in my life that I struggle and he's wanting us to trust him more. And I've found in my own life that the only way that that comes is by spending time with him. We have to be willing to be in that abiding presence of God. He wants us to abide in him. He wants us to be faithful. Faithful is to be, it's a friendly association, especially with one with the same interest. He wants to be your companionship, which is a feeling of fellowship or friendship, intimacy, and togetherness. Harmony. Harmony is like a harmonious connection. Harmony and agreement and peace. God gives us that peace that nobody else can give us. That
that peace that passes all understanding. Intimacy is that close familiarity, that friendship and closeness. What I felt like the Lord was speaking to me is He wants us, you know, in worship. It's not just worship here. It's not just coming to church on Sunday and that's it. It's on that daily basis. He wants us to be in that relationship where we're always abiding and being in His presence, listening, always, like Rob said, having your ears open and eyes open. Because if we're ambassadors, we're supposed to be about the kingdom's business, or the King's business. And in order to do that, we have to get up every morning. God's just really been, this is something the Lord's really been challenging me in, is every morning getting up and asking Him, God, help me. Help me, rid me. This is my prayer. I said, God, I don't even know what it looks like. Don't even know what it looks like. But I'm saying, rid me of myself. Get rid of me so that You are my focus, so that You are my entertainment of my mind and what I'm doing. He's had me get rid of different things in my life because they're distractions. The enemy likes to come in and distract us. I want to read a few more scriptures because the scriptures, I'm learning that the scripture is where the power is. Because, I mean, Holy Spirit is like the electricity. I heard Reinhard Bonnke say that the Holy Spirit is like the electricity, the power of God. And I'm going, God, I want that. I want that power. But I have to get rid of me out of the way and listen and be obedient to what He says. And His word is the only thing that will change us or change someone else's heart. So if the Lord leads me to someone, that's my prayer, is Lord, I want to be purposeful in my life and what I do every day, so that when I'm driving along or I go in the grocery store and the Lord speaks to me to do something, I do it. It doesn't matter. It's not about me. It's not about how it makes me feel. It's about being obedient to what the Father is asking us to do. Sometimes that's difficult. That's difficult for us to do because it's uncomfortable, because we got too much of ourselves in the way. But it's like anything, the more we lay ourselves down, the more we lay ourselves down and we get in His presence, the less we are like ourselves, like us. We start looking more like Him. It's like His word. As we read His word, that word washes over us and it gets in our spirit, it gets in us, and that changes us. So I'm going to read a few scriptures that the Lord laid on my heart. Jeremiah 9:23-24, it says, and I've got most of these in Amplified because it just magnifies what God's trying to say in it. So it says, thus says the Lord, let both wise men boast in His wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts in this, that he understand and know me, that I am the God who practices steadfast love, justice, righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, declares the Lord. He doesn't want us boasting in what we have. That it's like last night, those that weren't here, the ladies that were here, great skit that Gina and them did. There was one that was Miss Beauty. She was all about her beauty. There was one all about her accomplishments. She was very intellectual and smart. There was another one that was all about not letting anyone see you cry. And then there was one that was just the daughter. You know, they get up and they tell what makes them them. You know, what makes them beautiful, makes them to the full, is what was be you to the full. And each one of them had something vain. It was like this scripture. It was not God. It was not putting God first, except the daughter. And the daughter, she simply said, I'm beautiful. I'm full because of Him. And that's so true, because He's the only one that can make us beautiful. You guys can look at me and think, oh, she did terrible. But you know what? I am accepted, and He accepts me for who I am. You didn't give me my acceptance, so You can't take it away. And it's the same in each one of you. God gives you, if you're living for Him, He gives you that acceptance. You, no one else can take that away from you. That's your identity. And then the other one is Philippians 3:10. And this, so that I know Him experientially, becoming more thoroughly equipped with Him, or acquainted with Him, understanding the remarkable wonder of His person more completely, and the same way, and in that same way, experience and power of His resurrection, which overflows and is active in believers, and that is that it may share, that I may share, sorry, the fellowship of His suffering by being continually conformed inwardly into His likeness, even to His death, dying as He died. So He's wanting us, it's in Him. We're complete in Him. There was another little illustration that the Lord gave me. I was walking with a friend, and it was right after Pastor and Sister Betty had asked me to speak, and I was nervous thinking about it and, you know, kind of fretting about it a little bit. And the Lord just began to speak to me. While we were walking, we were just sharing, and she was just reaffirming what God's Word does say about me. We were walking, and the Lord kind of gave me a visual, because this is a stretching time, you know, for a person to get up here and speak and pull you out of, you know, I can talk, but haven't done this before. So this is a stretching point. So He spoke to me about stretching. Well, stretch means for something soft or elastic to be made or be capable of being made longer or wider without tearing or breaking. Strengthen or extend one's body or part of one's body to its full length, typically so as to tighten one's muscle in order for them to reach something. So God stretches us on purpose, because He wants us to be at our full potential. He wants us to be where we are stretched so that we get to that next place. Because sometimes we don't willingly just, you know, walk over here. Okay, God. Other times God has to pull on us and stretch us. And I don't know about you, but the older I get, some of those stretching moves and things are a little tighter than they used to be, you know? But God wants us to continually to stretch. It's like when you exercise or you begin to do some stretching or whatever, when you first do it, it's pretty tight and very uncomfortable. You're usually kind of sore, but the more you do it, the easier it gets and the more you can do. God spoke this. He said, when we are stretching in the natural, when we're stretching, you're actually releasing fat cells into your bloodstream and they're flushing out. So stretching is very good if you have fat. But the thing that God spoke to me about that, is not only is it for the natural, but it's in the spiritual as well. Because when He stretches us and we allow those toxins and the fat of life and the fat of the world, God, through His Word, washes that. The blood washes that out of us. We can't have that if we're not having that intimacy with Him. So He wants us to allow Him to stretch us, be intimate, be in that close relationship with Him. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Matthew 6:33, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after His kingdom and His righteousness, His way for doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. So spend time in His presence. Seek Him first. be in right standing with Him. He wants us in right standing with Him. You know, I heard a guy speak the other day that said that, you know, the Word of God, a lot of times people take the Word and they take it as the do's and don'ts, or the commandments they take as the do's and don'ts of what they get to do and what they don't get to do. It's not that. The Word is freeing. If we live in that relationship with Him and in His Word, it frees us from the weight of the world, from the standards that the world puts on us. Instead of, God's ways are not our ways. It says, listen to Him. You know, the devil is always trying to deter us. He does that quite often with me, trying to, you know, put things in my path or different things to derail you, to get your focus off of Him. I mean, it can be as little, okay, I'm going to tell myself I was at a game or something where there were other ladies. You know, us women, we like to look at other people and compare ourselves. I was sitting there and was watching this girl that I know, and I was watching her, and I mean, she's all put together. Everything looks perfect. You know, I mean, she doesn't look like there's anything out of place. And immediately I started, you know, thinking badly about myself. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, it's a distraction. It's a distraction. And so I moved away from that. Well, then there's other things like our job. It can be people that we work with. It can be finances. It can be health issues. It can be, there's a lot of different things that it can be pain. It can be past hurts or wounds that He continually brings up in our life. And those are all distractions. He wants you to focus on those things so that you're not focusing on what God says, what His Word says about who we are and the freedom that He's given us and the healing that He's given us and the power over darkness. He's given us power over darkness. And we don't always walk that way because we're believing the lies. Like Rob said last week, whose voice are we believing? You know, when those things come in, Sister Carla, in our discipleship class, one of the things that she teaches us is the devil always has one voice. One. And it's always condemning. It's always not good, and it's condemning. God always has three. He always confirms what He speaks to us. And it's always drawing us to Him. It's always good, or, you know, it's compelling us to be more like Him instead of beating you down. It's like I have someone close in our family. One of our brothers is not living for the Lord. And one of the things that he used to always say was, you know, you guys don't point out the sin in my life. You don't beat me over the head with it. You don't agree with it, but you don't beat me over the head with it. Because love is what we're called to do. God wants us to love. And when we love people, that's going to compel them. They're going to see something different in you and want what's different in you. Instead of, it's like anybody can find things that are negative. But are we going to be the treasure hunters? Are we going to be the gold finders? The diamond finders, the ruby finders. It's like I was on my bus one day, and we drop off in a lot of areas where they're homeless or they live in like hotels and or motels, and they're very poor, or, you know, whatever the choices in their life, whatever, they've gotten to that place. I remember one day that we had made a comment, you know, something about them. And it was just like the Holy Spirit convicted me. And He said, those are my treasures. Those are my treasures. There are people that God wants to bring into our path. The thing that Rob and I were talking about, that is that I may be better, But it isn't to be arrogant. It isn't to be prideful. It is that I am better. I am better because I have the keys. You have the keys to set those people free. You have the keys to set them free. And that's what the Lord was beginning. He's like changing my view of the way I see these people. You know, when you see them, it's like we went to Pure Joy and there was a girl that got up and shared her testimony, and she was on the streets and she had never done a drug in her life, and she had been in a car wreck, and they prescribed her medication because of her car wreck and the pain that she was in. I can't remember the exact thing that went wrong. She broke something or something. They gave her pain medicine. Well, next thing you know, she's addicted. And then she's buying it. She starts figuring out how to buy it, these prescription drugs. And then she gets into meth. She loses her husband. She loses her children. She loses her home. And the next thing you know, she's on the streets. And she said, and people would look at me and they would judge her. She said, there were many nights that I slept under the stairwell of the hotel, like you go up the stairs to go to a hotel. And she said, and then it came to her one day that she could call her old pastor. And so she called her own pastor, and thank God for her old pastor, because he didn't judge her. They went right out there and they helped her. They helped her get free. They put her in a rehab. And anyway, long story short, she was set free from the drugs, but she also was doing schooling. She was going to school, I think, to be a nurse is what it was. And she's got her children back, and her life's back on track. But she didn't set out to mess up. And I believe that there's a lot of those people that are out there that are hurting that didn't set out to go down that road and to hit bottom. So anyway, just that was one of the things that God spoke to me, is about being a treasure hunter, being a person that will find the gold in someone. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, well balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. He's always looking. You know, I think of that scripture where he says that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that we let in our life. It's the little things that we think, oh, well, this isn't going to affect me. But it does. They build up. And before long, you're stripped. You have nothing. One of the things, another thing he says, I wrote down was, like, we get busy and we don't spend time with him. We don't spend time in his word. The word is the only thing that changes our heart or our behavior. The word is life. It says, John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So there's been a friend of mine that I met at a conference. She's from Tennessee. Her and I have been talking, and she said that on Tuesday she makes an appointment. And she said, I do nothing but read Psalms and listen to what God wants to say. And she said, it's just been amazing the things that God has opened up to her and shown her. And I've done that a few times, and it has been amazing. When we make time for God and we are reading his word, his word comes alive and he speaks to us. It says, John 10:10, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may. And I learned this last night. It was kind of interesting because I had this scripture in mind and she shared it. And she said, they may. May is a choice. Okay, so we have to make the choice. If we want to have life, it says that they may have and enjoy life and have it to, or in its abundance, to the full, till it's overflowing. So we have to be willing to spend that time with him. We have to say, yes, God, yes. We want the things. How many of you have, like, with your kids or grandkids or people you know, they want something for free, or they want something for nothing. You know, that entitlement mentality. We have to give ourselves to God, because we aren't our own. He paid a price for us, and we're supposed to be doing His work. Fool, when it says to the fool until it's overflowing, fool, containing or holding as much as possible, having no empty spaces, not lacking or omitting anything, complete. How many of us want to be complete? We are complete, but we don't walk in it. And so that's what I feel like God's compelling us is just, He wants us to know who we are. He wants us to be in His presence. Isaiah 55:8-9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." So there's another scripture that I didn't write down. I thought of it earlier. Was it talks about when a man thinks it's right, you think it's right, but it's not. I think it's in Proverbs. You can be wrong. You can think that you're right, but if you're not spending that time with God and you're not being in His presence, then you're not going to know what His Word says. You're not going to know what He wants. You're not going to know His thinking, because you're so full of the world that you're not going to know what He wants you to do. You're not going to know His ways, because they are totally different. The things that He speaks to you to do, and you're thinking, God, really? And He says, just do it. It's like this conference that, or was at Bethel, they were learning to speak prophetic words. And this young man, they have them all line up across the front, the ones that are going to give the prophetic word. And this one man, he gets up and he said, "You're wearing a yellow shirt." A lady in the back just burst out crying. And so they bring up the people to interview. If these words speak to you, they have them come up. And so she came up and she said, "I had prayed, God, if you're going to heal my autistic child, you'll have him say, 'You're wearing a yellow shirt today.'" Doesn't make sense to us. That's what that lady needed to hear. The Lord spoke to me one morning. I was in the shower, and I got in the shower, and I was going, "God, who do you want me to pray for?" And He spoke a lady at work to pray for. And I was like, "Well, okay." So I was praying for her, and I said, "God, is there anything you want me to say to her?" And He spoke two words: "Be free." And so I'm thinking in my own mind, okay, what's that mean? You know what? I got to add something to that. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, went through the day, and that lady, I didn't see her until later that afternoon. And I walked over to her and I said, "You know, hi, I'm trying to learn to be obedient to what God wants me to do." And I said, this morning I was praying and asking God who He wanted me to pray for, and He gave me your name. So I was praying for you. And then I said, "God, is there something you want me to speak to them?" And He said, "Be free." And she kind of looked at me and she said, "If it doesn't speak to you, it's okay. Just chalk it up that I'm learning." She just kind of looked at me and she said it two or three times, and she sat down in her seat and she began to cry. And she said, "Just this morning, I said, 'God, I just don't know how much more I can handle.'" And she said, "That means so much to me that God laid you on your heart and then gave you that word." And she said, "Thank you so much." Well, it spoke life to her. It gave her hope. It gave her encouragement. Didn't make any sense. And by the way, I did just say, "Be free." I didn't add my own. Because as I was walking over there, the Lord said, "Remember only what I said." Okay. I wanted to share a little story, you know, about our identity. We've shared this story. Rob shared this story before. I've shared it with different ones. And it's a story about the Wemix. You guys remember that? Any of you remember that story? It's called the Wemix. And the Wemix was all about, you know, who could do something great. And they had stars and, thank you. They had stars and gray dots. And if you did something bad, you got a gray dot. If you did something, accomplishment, some type of accomplishment, you got a gold star. And so this young man, his name was Ponchinello, and he couldn't do anything right. He tried and tried. It didn't matter what he did. He messed it up. You know, they were always sticking gray dots on him. One day, I can't remember the girl's name. Do you remember? I'm going to say Lucy. He noticed her walking through the town, and people would try to put a gray dot on her, and it wouldn't stick. They'd put a star on her, and it wouldn't stick. And they couldn't figure out, you know, he watched her. Nothing sticks to her. Why does nothing stick to her? And so he followed her, and he asked her, he said, why does nothing stick to you? The stars or the dots, they don't stick to you. And he said, she said, because I go and see Eli, my maker. They were out of wood, and he's the master wood carver. He's the one that made them and created them. She said, I go and see him every day. And so Ponchinello thought, okay, you know, what's he got to lose? So he makes his way up. He's kind of intimidating. He's up this road in this big house, and he walks in, and everything's huge to him because he's just a little carving, little guy. And he hears Eli say, Ponchinello, I've been waiting for you. Ponchinello's, you know, he doesn't see him at first. He's like, you have? He said, yes. And he pulls him up, and he talks to him, and I can't remember if he carves on him or at that point or not, but anyway, he just talks to him and spends time with him. Then he tells, you know, lets Ponchinello go, and he's heading out the house and down the little road, and he's thinking about what Eli said about him, that he, you know, he created him, that he loves him. As he thought about it, one of the gray dots fell off of him. It's the same with us. If we go to the Master, which is our Father, every day, things of this world will not be able to stick, whether they be good or bad. They won't be able to stick to us. This went all the way down. It's kind of funny. Yesterday morning, the Lord woke me up. And God tends to speak to me in real literal things, you know. I mean, there was one year he was speaking to me about the trees and, you know, the whole thing about how they change and different things like that. Well, I woke up about 2 o'clock, and the Lord spoke to me, limber. Limber. Look it up. And it says, a person or a body part. Lith is how you say, L-I-T-H-E, supply, life. Flexible, fit. Again, he's taking us back to being flexible. We have to be able to be flexible for him to do what he wants. And then he took me to the palm tree. The palm tree and the willow tree are very similar. They're not easily broken. They have really awesome root system. They go deep. And even their roots are flexible. If a tsunami or a hurricane or something like that happens and a palm tree is broken, you will see them with these awesome root systems. And that tree will grow back. But the thing that I wanted to point out is their root system is, it says in Ephesians 3:14-19, that we are rooted and grounded in love. His love. Not our love, or not even man's love, because it's not capable of giving us the love the Father needs. It's important to spend time with the Father. The Lord reminded me of a women's ministry meeting that we had done, and I had 3 chairs sitting up here. We had gone to a conference, Teresa and I had gone to a conference, and this man spoke about these 3 chairs. Number 1 chair was resting in the Father. Number 2 is, I'm a Christian, but I can do it myself. I don't need to rely on God all the time. And number 3 is someone that's just not even walking with God. They're just doing their own thing. The Lord reminded me of that because we always want to be in number one. And that is being in Him. That's resting in Him. That's knowing that He is going to make it happen. That's Him helping you through everything. You're relying on Him for everything. Realizing some people's, I even pray for a mama parking spot. You know, when you're in a hurry or whatever, I was like, God, please give me a mama parking spot. And that's the close parking spots instead of all the way down at the other end. But I mean, sometimes I park down there because I need the exercise. It's okay to pray about even the little things. And when we do something for God, whether it's small in our eyes, it can be very, very big in somebody else's life. When I get in the flesh or I act not Christ-like and out of frustration or whatever, I refuse to say I'm frustrated anymore because frustration is not walking in the Spirit. And so, I mean, as soon as I start to say I'm frustrated, it's like, that's not God. That's not God. And it really makes you stop and think about how you're acting. It's like my daughter was telling us last night, with they have Christian wear, and the people that wear the Christian wear that might cuss or might do something that's not right, they even act better. They're like, oh, wait a minute, I have a Christian shirt on. It's not just a hunting shirt. It's a Christian, it's got a scripture on the back of it. It's talking about God. And, you know, and it makes them more aware. And that's like the word. I mean, the word, if we've got that, it's going to help us know when we're doing wrong. So we want to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:17, the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature of these two, sinful nature and the Spirit are direct opposite of each other, continually in conflict, so that you as believers do not always do whatever good things you want to do. So our flesh and our spirit are always warring. They're always in competition. I mean, it's making our like if I let the frustration take over, then I'm letting my flesh win instead of my spirit. Serve the Lord without distractions. In 1 Corinthians 7:35, now I say these for your own benefit, not to restrict you, but to promote what is appropriate and secure, undistracted devotion to God. That's 1 Corinthians 7:35. And the Lord took me to the Israelites and was showing me that even when the Israelites were in the wilderness and God gave them manna, He said, only take what you need for that day. Don't take any more. Because it would rot. And I see this as an example for our walk with Him. He wants us to be hungry and ready to come into His presence and be dependent upon Him. That we have fresh manna from Him every day. He longs for us to come, make ourselves available, and let Him fill us to the full every day. He wants to give us fresh manna every day. It's not that I, like when I said earlier, I want to be empty. That meaning that I have done everything He wants me to do and giving out that manna. It's not only for me. When He gives a revelation, it's not only for me. It's for others too. It's always to share. One of my friends shared with me, I'm always talking and sharing with her, and she shared a testimony with me that she always shares with her sister. And her sister, she's seeing a change in her sister because it's like that ripple effect. You know, when you touch someone, they touch somebody else and they touch somebody else. So you don't know what size of effect you're making on someone. God says that His mercies are new every morning. Lamentations 3:22-23. Will we make room for God? Will we make room for God? He is calling us to come and eat. Will we learn to eat and drink fresh bread and water every day? If we refuse to eat stale bread, spit out that stale bread. Come to me, holy, holy, is the Lord Almighty. Living in a purposeful life, being intimate with God. I love this saying. It says, be into me. Intimate is be into me. That means he's in our business. He knows us. He knows us better than anybody. He wants to be involved in our lives. Inner strength. We have to know him intimately. Paul talks about taking refuge. Says that he is our refuge. No matter what, whether it's good, bad, whatever's coming our way that day, if we have him as our refuge. He's there no matter what. He says he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always ready to be there for you. And you know that if you know his voice. He says, my sheep will only know my voice. They will not know any other. You know, when we get distracted by the world, we're not spending that time. We've forgotten his voice. We've forgotten whose voice we're listening to. Jeremiah 17:5, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the man who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from God. God desires for us to make him more, to make him more in our lives. Luke 14:26 says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife or husband, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even their own, such a person cannot be my disciple. And that doesn't mean literally to hate. It means to love less. That we have to love even our spouses and our children less and God more. God wants him. He says, I'm a jealous God. He wants to be most important. All right, that's all I have. And I just, I want Brother, I just went blank, Doug. Because God is a good God. He loves us. His word's not to condemn us. His word is to make us better. To make us better examples of him. Any word that you can think of God, attributes of God, you can look at those attributes and that's what we're supposed to look like. As ambassadors of God. And so I just pray that this song ministers to you. Because I felt like that's what the Lord had spoke to me to end it with. And I just pray for the ladies here that you just have a wonderful Mother's Day. And close your eyes and just let the Holy Spirit come in and minister to you through the words of this song. Because he loves you. He loves you so much.